It is 7:40 on the ticket, Tuesday morning with the Musers, our weekly football visit with our insider Ed Werder coming up at 7:55. Then at 8:15, all this smoke around Nico Harrison, reports that he is soon to be fired. We have a lot to say about this. I think this is one of the strangest situations I can ever remember on the heels of the strangest trade any of us can ever remember. So a lot to get to with the Nico situation at 8:15. I was out over the weekend. Football season is our most intense time of the year, so you'll notice when the Cowboys bye week rolls around that a lot of people get away. George, you were off on Friday.
Yeah.
I heard Bob was out yesterday from the hard line. Ed Werder just went to Colorado, and we're about to talk to Ed.
Bob was at Lambeau last night.
That's right, yeah. And our buddy Mike Ducey, the fourth Muser, went to Iowa to see Oregon and Iowa, his alma mater. Iowa, not Oregon.
Right.
And so I took yesterday off, and we got it out of town to one of our favorite spots, and that's northern New Mexico. Just a quick, long weekend trip.
Nice.
And I am here to report that our travel, which we were a little worried about because of all the government shutdown and TSA problems, air traffic control issues, our travel was seamless.
That's great.
And maybe that's because we were flying the official airline of the ticket, American Airlines.
Yeah.
But it's a quick flight up to Santa Fe. You can take a direct flight from DFW up there. Our flight was on time. There was zero wait at the TSA checkpoint. And I think maybe that's because that was the first day that they cut the schedule way back. And so maybe there were fewer people going to the airport because their flights were canceled.
Okay.
So if your flight was canceled, then you were really screwed. And there were a lot of stories of that over the weekend. But if your flight wasn't canceled, the airport was probably easier to navigate. And I made sure that when we went through TSA both ways, I thanked every TSA employee that I could for working through this mess. Because they haven't been getting paid.
Not getting paid.
They're dealing with the public. So I made it a point to thank them all. And I think everybody should do that.
Yes. That's a tough job to begin with.
It's a really important job.
And a very, very important job.
If I could have gone up in the tower and thanked the air traffic controllers, I would have done that too, but I would have been arrested.
You should have tried to break in the
No, I just want to say thank you.
I just have a little fruit tray that I'm trying to deliver.
Like a lot of parents, I'm sure we have discovered the secret to flying with a small child, in our case a four-year-old, is the tablet and headphones.
That's right. Mm.
We're really good about her screen time, limiting how much TV she watches, and we don't ever let her watch her tablet unless we're on a flight or a long car trip.
Okay.
And so she'll sit there and watch the tablet and have the headphones on. It's really funny, though, when she turns to tell us something, she shouts because she has the headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole plane hears it, and it's hilarious. At one point, we've been in the air for 90 minutes, and we're starting our descent. And she says, "Are we in New Mexico?" And we say, "Oh, well, we will be soon." And then she said, "Are we still in Dallas?" it's like if we are,
she thinks Dallas is just this long expanding place all the way to New Mexico.
You're in one place until you're in the next one.
Yeah, so, that's right.
I was like, if we're still in Dallas, then we don't have a very good pilot. And I've heard a lot about the fall colors in northern New Mexico, and that was one reason that we wanted to go up this time of year, because I've never seen them because of football season. Never really get away during football season. And so we wanted to go up there this time of the year. We just missed the aspens turning gold. They were pretty much bare at this point. But we got there right at the peak of the cottonwoods turning gold, and it was spectacular.
Mm.
So I'm glad I finally got to see that.
That's great.
And when we were there over the summer, our daughter went to a summer day camp and made a friend, and the two really hit it off. So we wanted to keep that relationship going. We wanted to get them together again, and we did. They had a play date, and we went out to dinner with their family. Chemistry is a funny thing. Those two kids picked up right where they left off, like they had seen each other yesterday. Did you guys have friends that maybe you only saw during the summer, maybe met at a camp or something like that, that became lifelong friends?
Yeah, I would say more on the we moved, but go back and visit, and we just pick up right where we left off,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I've never had the exact thing that Craig's talking about, I don't think. which is just meet someone in a remote location, and then when you travel back to that remote location, they're still friends.
My wife said that she would come up to Dallas in the summertime from San Antonio and visit family, and she had a friend that was a neighbor of their family, and they were the same way. They were just like thick as thieves, and they only saw each other during the summer, but they picked up right where they left off. For me, it was family. It was my cousins.
Right.
You know, we'd see our cousins at Christmas and in the summer, but, you know, 6 months without seeing them, and we were best friends as soon as we saw them.
Yeah.
So it was great to watch these two girls just immediately start hugging and laughing and having a great time. And we were hanging out with the family, and we were talking about what a cute age four is for kids, little girls in particular. And the mother of our daughter's friend said, "We're just enjoying the little girl voice because we know by five it will be pretty much gone." And they have two older kids, so I assume they know what they're talking about. And they said their daughter in her cute voice says head four instead of forehead. And that it's so cute they don't correct her.
Keep it going as long as possible.
Difficult call as a parent. Do you correct the cute things or do you let them keep going? Your job is to teach them the right ways in the world,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was probably guilty of letting them keep going.
But when they say
figure it out.
Pescetti and when,
right.
Instead of memory, it's a remembry.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I've found myself not correcting her probably more than I correct her just because it's so cute. And I know at some point she'll figure it out.
Right.
But not from you.
You don't want her to get the right info from you.
She shouldn't really learn anything from her parents. No. So I'm trying to soak in this little voice knowing it's going to change really soon. And this is our daughter yesterday pretending to read a Bluey book. This is what she does. She makes up the story as she flips the pages. She has her own narrative, and it's hilarious, and I love the voice.
"I know," says Bluey. "I know," says Bingo. "I was thinking what you were thinking. Let's unbuckle our seatbelt," says Bluey. "Then they will finally dare. The end."
Man, that was a great story.
Got it.
That was a nice rewrite.
And the other thing that we experienced on this trip, and I know parents of all young kids experience this, I call it restaurant rodeo. They are old enough to grab a glass and drink for themselves, and you're tempted to help them because you don't want them to drop the glass on the floor. And there are all sorts of glasses and plates on the table, and there are arms and elbows swinging everywhere. And there was one time that our daughter's friend had her elbow up on the table and she swung quickly to the right and I could see what was happening. And I grabbed the glass and pulled it out of the way because that was going to end up on the floor.
Glove save.
Several times you see the little kids and they're like wide receivers. They're bobbling things and you don't know if they're going to pull it in or not or if it's going to hit the ground. And it's just such a wild ride.
Yeah, that's. I think at that age, especially, we would bring the plastic cups. Here, just put your drink in here, because man, it's just such a. Yeah, like you said, a wild ride.
Because they want to operate everything. They want to hold the glass, hold a fork, run with a knife. They don't understand the danger or.
No, they don't care.
They think they've got everything under complete control.
Yeah. Sure. Gosh, and that starts young too when you get really good at knowing the arm radius of a, you know, like a 6 month old, 7 month, eighth, nine month old, because they will windshield wiper off their tray. It's so obnoxious. So we have to get bowls that have suction cups that will stick things to tables. And it's crazy what adults have to do to protect the world from children.
We were out to dinner with that other family, and they have three young kids, and we have our one. And so there were four young kids and four adults, and it was that's man-to-man defense. You know, we were one-on-one, but it felt like we didn't have enough defenders.
Wait, what are all these? Who drank all the coffee creamers? Which one of you kids drank every single one of these coffee creamers?
Now what happened to him? Where did he go? You lose one. Right. So anyway, a great trip, a great getaway. Batteries recharged for the rest of football.
Awesome. Good to have you back.